the world, this is Paper Cuts with Brad and Jay.
I'm the one you love. I'm Jay. Thanks so much for stopping by. Over there's Brad. It's his show.
It's his show. That's why I'm the host, and we just love Jay.
Now you know it's all natural. I mean, you know, nothing's rehearsed, right?
No, absolutely nothing is rehearsed on this show.
God, you just suck life out of me. This feels like
you've got a lot grayer since we started this.
I have.
Tonight, it's a cover reveal party with Chad Lutsky.
We are live.
Well, hello there. Happy Tuesday?
Hold on, Jay. Wait, Tuesday. We have to wait till Chad shows up before we can start. We can't start until Chad shows up.
Should we just have like a?
I'm here.
Like a slow chat. Like a.
I made it.
Like a side chat.
Yeah. Side chat.
So usually, you know, it's a Tuesday edition. So that means cover reveal or book launch. Uh-huh. Bradford over there. I'm Jayford. Tonight you're getting both. Really, I know my little intro there said cover reveal, but. You know, we're going to go ahead and kill
celebrate
two
stones.
Two stones with one bird. I got that backwards.
Two birds with one stone.
Luckily, we're only paying him by the hour and not by project. So, right, because we're going to go broke. Welcome to the show, Chad Lutsky. He's got a lot of stuff going on today. Chad, what is it? You got the hour. So, how do you want to start? You want to start with
cover reveal, I wanted book launch. Okay, a couple of things. First, I wanted to thank you for begging me to come on your show.
We did. We've been begging Chad all the time.
Don't show those emails.
In all seriousness, I came to you guys, what was it, like a week ago or something? Like last minute.
Something like that.
I was like, dude, I got this cover. We do a reveal. I mean, you guys weren't like, yeah, but we're booked for 6 months or whatever. You guys are like, yeah, let's do it right on the release dates of How the Skin Sheds. New Splatter Western that just came out today from Deathshead Press.
That's a good book, too.
Thank you.
Pretty colors on that cover.
And I do want to do a giveaway later, so people will stick around. Mm. And for some audio codes for a couple of books of mine. But the only way I'm going to do this giveaway is if Jay tells Brad that he loves him.
And the show's over. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
We got to flip the ending, Jay.
I know. That's the way the cookie crumbles. We'll talk to you later.
So, them's the rules.
There's another rule, Jay. Remember, we talked about off air. You can't mention cannibals at all during that whole episode.
You're bringing it up, so we might as well talk about
it. So the chat knows, too.
We have a live cannibal talking to us right now. That's pretty cool.
No more. Sadie's going to buddy read your Splatter Wrestling with C.S. Humble.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, I don't normally read my own books, but I was like, you know, I wrote this like 2 years ago. I should probably, you know, familiarize myself with it because I've written like 4 books since, and it's a damn good book, you guys.
If I
do say so myself,
no bias at all.
It's good. And I dedicated it to Joe Lansdale, mm-hmm. but when I read it, it's embarrassingly similar to a Joe Lansdale book, I think. And I only have 2 copies. I got his copy that I'm supposed to personalize and send to him, and then I got my copy. But if he does crack the spine, I hope he enjoys it.
I definitely got some Happen Leonard vibes between Uncle Garrett and Franklin.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think when you were on the very first time, like way back in season 2, we talked about the Splatter Western. So it's been that long.
Season 2?
Okay.
I think it was the first episode of season 2. Our seasons are like
9 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Season 2, right?
It was right after Chad was sick and he came on.
I remember.
He was a trooper. Yeah.
He was like, you guys dragged me on the show. And like 3 hours later, he's like, are we finished now? I mean, it's been 4 hours.
I still had the cough and everything. Yeah, I remember that.
So I think we talked about, you didn't have like details about it, but you were either working on it or were going to work on your Splatter Western back then.
Mm. Okay.
So how long has it been? I guess, has it been 2 years since they've had it and just been waiting to come out?
I think it's been a year and a half. I think I pitched the idea to the people who were in charge at the time, Jared Barbie and Patrick Harrison III, mm-hmm. Who I didn't really know those guys all that well, really at all. And I was just like, I was seeing the Westerns and I was like, man, I just wanted one of those covers, really.
And I was like, Justin Kuhn's covers are great.
Yeah, he's such a great artist. And so I was like, I think I can pull this off. I have still, I still haven't read actually any of the, no one's upset, but I have never read, the only Western I've ever read is Paradise Sky by Joe Lansdale. Uh-huh. So I don't know how this compares to the other ones. It's me, you know, mm-hmm. through and through 100%. But I kind of didn't want to read the other ones too.
That could be kind of good, right? Because that way you're not swayed by any of the other ones.
Right.
All original content. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, I mean, there might be expectations, you know, being a splatter Western, like, oh, it's not rapey enough or it's not, you know, whatever. I don't know.
I've read a few. I feel like it fell in line with them. I've read Magpie Coffin, Dust, and Human Shaped Fiends, I think is Chandler Morse's one. Some mm-hmm. fit in with those.
But what I was saying was I pitched it in like, I think it was September of 2021. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote it and gave it to them like 6 weeks later, something like that, I think.
That's quick.
Yeah,
they wanted it in by January, but I just wanted to get it done as soon as possible. They wanted a 35,000 word book. I pitched them. Actually, I said, hey, are you guys taking pitches? And they said, we'd love to get a pitch from you. And so like they sent me this like within 20 minutes of emailing them, asking them. And so I hit reply and I just started typing. And then I typed my pitch. I was coming up with a pitch as I was typing. And then I sent it. And it's essentially the synopsis on the back cover is what I kind of sent to them.
Nice. With that short time frame you had, you got it to them 6 weeks later. I mean, so it was just coming. It was just flowing really quick for you.
Yeah. Yeah. A part of that has to do with it's in first person. I love writing in first person. Mm-hmm. I write a lot faster that way. So.
Yeah. Hamlin's talking about Chandler Morrison's. His is very meta. So there's like interludes, I guess, where it's Chandler himself writing the own book.
Okay. Hey, Hamlin. Cool. Good to see you, man. I just read Hamlin's. I'm sorry, Hamlin.
The psychedelic one he's got out.
Yes, yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
It's a great book. I love his. I read that one and then I blurbed Wayward Sons. Both excellent mm-hmm. books, man. Yeah, he's great. He writes this cool slice of life stuff that just takes a left turn.
Future guest on the show, by the way.
Spoilers, Jay. Goodness gracious.
Well, that's awesome.
I didn't say when. Be. I mean,
someday in the future.
Soon, Hamlin. Soon, okay.
So, yeah. Are you a Chad? Are you a fan of just Westerns in general, or if because you said you only read the one Paradise Sky? Oh, are you a fan of Western movies and stuff, or was it just only wanted a Justin T. Koons cover?
Is that that's it. Yeah, it was kind of a personal challenge. I mean, I like the same ones that everybody likes. Tombstone, you know,
right.
Bone Tomahawk, just crap like that. You know, just the staples, Young Guns.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not a Western guy at all.
So to kind of go into the cover reel a bit, said you might.
I should mention the other Western that I did read that doesn't get any attention hardly is John Bowden's Walk the Darkness Down.
Oh, Walk the Darkness Down. John's
which
great.
came out before this like giant explosion of, and that book is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was out before the explosion of the Splatter.
Yeah, Western. Before any of them came out. Yeah.
Okay.
It is such a good book. John really knows how to write antagonist like creatures. Oh man. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, Sadie knows. I think I can't remember for sure. I think she mentions that in her book that's coming out soon, Walk the Darkness Down. Her 101 books to read before you're murdered.
Yeah. I mean, you got a guy with fingernail armor, and there's like a twin sister dude keeps in his pouch that's just teeth and eyeballs and fleshy. It's cool, man. It sounds crazy, but I mean, it's if you've read any of his stuff like Spunk Onion.
Spunk Onion's super like, it's really weird and kind of fantastic, not too much.
It's kind of like that, but a little less. I guess I can't say a little less fantasy. But John also has a book coming out through Dead Sky called Snarl that I think is his best book.
Is that the one you did the cover for recently?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And with the covers, like for the new cover reveal we're going to talk about in a little bit, you said you mocked this up. Either you'd only written a little bit of the book or before you'd written anything. Do you do that with all your books, even though, even if you know going in, you're not going to do the cover? Like, did you mock up a cover for the How the Skin Sheds?
How the Skin Sheds has had four covers.
Is it?
Okay. It has four that were paid for and either 100% done or almost done. And that's a long story. it's not my fault. But they went through a lot of different artists. Some were not a good, all of them were great artists. Some were just not a good fit. But yeah, I think I posted those on my Patreon page, and then I did a mock-up for How the Skin Sheds as well. That I messed around with. I didn't really care for it that much, but I just did it. So, but yeah, this is the fourth cover, and it's, I just wanted Justin, you know, cause they were not going to use Justin for the second season of the Westerns.
Oh, I think that would have been a huge mistake in my personal opinion.
Well, they tried, but yeah, but a lot of changes happened over there. Over at Death's Head/Dead Sky publishing. So, but yeah, I've got this gorgeous cover now, but the, as far as, yeah, man, I get a little, it's funny because when I write a book with somebody like John or Tim Meyer, they think I'm just like, they're like, whoa, slow down. Cause I'm like working on a cover, you know? And they're like, we haven't even, you know, written the book yet. And I'm like, dude, this is just what I do, man. It's like motivation, whether we use this or not. And, but yeah, I've written a handful of books where I just had a cover. Skull Face Boy was meant to be a cover for an anthology that John and I were in. We hated the cover that they were going to use and thought it was so bad. Let's just, you know, get ballsy and tell the publisher that this is bad. This isn't going to sell. And so we did, and he kind of took it okay.
Yeah.
And I said, I do have a cover that I made if you want to see it. And he's like, no, I'm punk rock. I'm going to use this cover that we had. I'm not going to say what book it is, but it came out. I don't think it sold very well. Mm-hmm. And so I had this Skullface Boy cover, except for it didn't have the LA scene. It didn't have the neon font. It was totally different. It just had like this Skullface Boy in a hoodie, and the whole cover was purple and black. Uh-huh. And it was on my iPad, and I just kept looking at it while I was writing Stirring the Sheets. And I was looking at it, and I was like, I'm gonna use this. This is really cool. I'm gonna write a story just called Skullface Boy, and it's gonna be about a kid with a skull for a face who makes a road trip. And I did the same thing with Three Smile and the same thing with Cannibal Creator.
I mean, that's pretty cool. The story is coming from the inspiration of the cover.
That's
totally opposite than what we hear about a lot of times, you know, because usually people are making the covers from the inspiration from the book.
Yeah.
Opposite world.
Yeah. With Three Smile, I don't know if I already told you guys or not, but I had made a pre-made. It's when I had made a whole bunch of pre-mades last year. I made the pre-made for this thing and posted it up on Twitter, and someone said, this looks like a Lansdale book. And I said, yeah, it does, doesn't it? I said, it looks like, and then I just wrote the scenario. It looks like this, you know, that was slightly different than what it came to be, but I looked at the scenario and I was like, dang, man, I'm writing that book. So I deleted the tweet, took it off my website, and I had the book out within, I think, 2.5-3 months.
You're so quick with like your inception to finished product.
Yeah, like the cover reveal tonight, Broad Street Bastard. It's not done.
Yeah, it'll be done. I asked you the other day. Yeah. I was like, "How many words you got?" He's like, "Meh, 8,000." You're not even like anywhere close to being done yet.
Come back Thursday night for the actual book launch of that one.
Yeah. Thank you, me, Mary.
So, like, with you not being done with Broad Street Bastard yet, do you ever get nervous about, like, you've got the cover, you start talking about it, and then like, what if you just get stuck and the writer's block and you can't finish the story? You ever get worried about anything like that?
This is Chalotsky. No. There's no
writer's block.
No, I don't have that. I mean, I have things where it's like, I don't like that ending. This needs a better ending. I've got to come up with a better ending or something like that, you know? But I've been through this so many times, whether it be a short story or a book, that it's like, eventually it will come. So no, I don't really, I don't worry about it. I have a lot of faith in myself to do what, I don't have faith in myself to say like, well, I'm going to write a 70,000 word novel in 3 months and it's going to be good. I don't have that kind of faith. But as far as doing a novella that that I want to come out the way that it is kind of in my head before any words are written, I'm like, I can do that. I can make that sad. I can, you know, make that character like this or whatever. I'm not trying to sound cocky. It's just that it's part. I mean, there are many things I cannot do at all that I would suck at. But there are certain things that if this is what I want to do, I know that I can make that happen, I guess.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't really
think it's cocky at all. I mean, it's confidence in your
it kind of sounds
ability.
Cocky.
But
I mean, I think at this point you've proved that you can do it, too, because you have, what, 15 probably plus books out?
20, yeah.
20, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 21 as in July, I think.
When Broad Street Bastard comes, is that when it's gonna be out?
And then two more that are done with the publishers, Cemetery Dance and Crystal Lake. Those will be out the beginning of next year.
Oh, is your Cemetery Once Dance the butterfly one?
Bruises on a Butterfly. Yeah,
I'm excited for that one.
And then the one I'm most excited about, honestly, is The Bedmakers with John Bowden. I think it might be the best thing either of us have written. And it's a full novel.
A full novel from both of you all. That's exciting.
It's, yeah, we love it. And it's really sad. I mean, when people read it, they'll be like, oh, this is total. I would expect nothing less from these
guys. Is that the Trailer Park one or is that something different?
No. Trailer Park Coven? No. Yeah. This is serious. No.
Okay.
It's a crime thriller.
Okay.
It takes place in 1979 with two old homeless men who hop on a train to go find work out west, and they end up finding work as grave diggers, old school grave diggers.
Oh, nice. What's the expected release for that one? Is there one?
I think Joe said at the beginning of the year. I don't know if it was January or what, but I think Bruce's on a Butterfly is like January 1st or something.
Okay. Look, Sadie's like, she's emailing you now. She wants the books, Chad.
So they're grave diggers, like old school, like they joined the grave diggers union, all that. Nice.
And you and
no union, just, you know, I mean, these guys are
just homeless. Something popped on my head. I just thought of like a way it could go, but yeah, that's interesting.
Their homeless are probably getting paid under the table or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds fantastic. Email me too, Chad. So with all your projects, do you usually have a pretty quick turnaround time? You know, a couple months or so from start to finish when writing anything, or has anything drawn out for a while?
I mean, it depends. I've got half-written novels that I was like really crazy about at the time. And then I'd get another idea or someone would be like, hey, let's write a book or something like that. So, and then sometimes that doesn't pan out because every collaborative project, I mean, I've probably collaborated with, I think, four authors that we're not putting books out together. We're great friends, but it's just like, this didn't work. Uh-huh. Or something, you know, like that. Or we lose steam. Or Hunter Shea would be a good example. Hey, let's write a book together. Okay, let's write an alien abduction book together. I get all excited. James Newman, hero of mine, sends me a message. Do you want to write a book together? Oh, dude, I'm writing with Hunter. I can't right now. A couple weeks go by, me and Hunter are working on this thing. Then he just bails out. He's too busy now. Doesn't want to do it. I get back with James. It's like, James, what? He's like, oh, no, I'm writing with Ron Kelly. Kelly. I'm like, oh, man, freaking Hunter.
And like, that's when you turn around and you call Ronald Kelly. Like, hey, I don't think James really wants to do it with you. Just so you know, you know, start stirring a little trouble behind the scenes.
Oh, gosh. Start drama.
An alien abduction, that doesn't sound too much like Chad Lutsky.
I love Hunter, man. He's a great writer, and I just, like, he's a great guy. He's a good friend of mine. And so I know he's in Aliens. I was reading Communion by Whitley Strieber at the time. And so I was like, yeah, let's do this. Hey, Megan, thank you. Thank
you. We got to reverse the roles. Megan's here, so now we got to start over.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Welcome, everyone, to another special episode of Paper Cuts, a Tuesday night edition. Go ahead. Let's put the teaser.
Put the teaser up here?
The real reason we're here tonight, I mean, we're doing like two things in one here. You know, luckily we're only paying him for an hour, but still, we've got two projects going on. This is a teaser of the cover reveal that we're actually doing tonight. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little...
Me, Marie, you have two children's books out, too, you've been putting out.
Yeah, working on our third right now. We put out two children's books that are on Amazon. You can find them under my name or my wife's name, Mary. And we have Where's My Cat Tonight? And Dandelion Makes a Wish Come True. And we're working on a book called What's Behind Those Eyes. It's a children's horror picture
Ooh.
Book.
I remember you posted something about it was like two images and you said your wife was worried they were too scary for kids.
Yeah, that's one of the pages. Yeah.
I showed my five-year-old. She said, those aren't scary.
Are you doing?
Yeah, she said, we can't use those. Are you crazy?
You're doing the artwork for those? Or?
Yeah, we did the artwork for all of these books for sure. Yeah. I wouldn't do them if I could.
Who's coming up with the actual story part?
Where's My Cat Tonight was, I think it was mainly my idea. Yeah, it was my idea. And then we worked together on the rhyming scheme of it and some of the like scenarios on where the cat might be. And then for Dandelion Makes a Wish, that was hers. And the dryer. That was hers. Dandelion Makes a Wish Come True. And then I had some ideas and we just kind of worked on it from there. And then I did most of the art for that one because I wanted to use a different kind of weird, just like with my book covers, I get bored with one style and I want to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, same with the books I write, I guess. And so I wanted to do this kind of weird texture stuff that looks almost like mixed media rather than like paint and drawing. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of, you know, like the bird has real feathers and the raccoon has real fur. The trees have real bark on them, but it's still, you know, illustrated. It's still cartoony, but a totally different style. And then this next one has a different style too that we're doing.
What would you say the age range is for?
Three to five. Okay. Three to six.
Mm-hmm. Is the reception for those been pretty good so far?
It's okay. I mean, you know, you get your friends and stuff, that your regular readers that like your stuff. Hey, CW, thanks for stopping by, man. If you haven't read his book, the new one, Hard Mountain Clay, I think is the name mm-hmm. of it. So yeah. good. So good.
We chatted with him about, a month and a half ago about it?
Yeah, I think it was here.
It's a good one.
Such a good book. Get that book and read it. What was the question?
The reception
CW for
the
kids just books. What's that?
I feel like the reception for the kids books.
Oh, I mean, okay. We were gonna go to do this whole big marketing thing where I just, you know, doing the Amazon ads and stuff, which is really difficult. Mm-hmm. And then I don't
know. You need to get into the library so they can use it for story time, like in summer programs.
That's what my wife wanted to do. She wanted to do like a library tour. I am not that dude. And I'm not gonna get up there. Read to children. I love kids.
Well, no, I mean, you don't have to. Like, the libraries around here, they have summer programs where the librarians do it. But I mean, somehow, you know, each week they pick books.
Yeah.
Story time. You know, if you somehow get it in there, you know, scar these kids for life. But that's the whole point of it. So
I feel like there's so many kids books. So I feel like that's a harder market to break into than the indie horror stuff, probably.
It's hard for me to say because, I've invested 9 years with mm-hmm. in networking and writing and it didn't happen overnight. It was a lot of hard work. Quite honestly, things really didn't take off until I started paying attention to people like Bookstagram, people on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I randomly picked some people from Instagram and I found out that they were like coming of age fans. And I think at the time, all I had was like three books out or something. three or four. And, you know, they're like, oh, I love Boys Life or whatever. And so I sent like three or four of these people a message and I said, I hate doing that. It's just, you know, but you kind of have to,
yeah,
you know, to reach out to people like that and say, I have this, I mean, I don't post my own book on, you know, recommendation, unless they're like, I need a recommendation for a road trip with a kid with a skull for a face. Skull fit.
I've got the perfect book for you.
I kind of have to.
Well, now that you mentioned it.
Yeah. But, you know, so I just was like, I have this, I saw that you like coming of age or that you liked Boys Life. I have this book that I thought, would you mind if I sent it to you? No obligation. That's how I met Sadie. And this was like 4 or 5 years ago, I think. And ever since then, ever since I started doing that and sending some hard copies to people, then I started actually selling books. And that was really, really nice.
She says she thinks you pitched Foster Home and Lost to her that way.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I sent her at least that book. And she graciously read it and helped out a lot with, I mean, she also helped out with the whole... A couple of things too, like the Wormwood screenplay, which is people have talked about, so I can talk about it, but things like that, you know, getting those connections. I've been in Nightworms a couple times, which is that is such a blessing for indie authors, just so huge.
Yeah, I got a
spoiler, Sadie.
The Thunderstorms book edition.
Oh, spoiler alert! It's in her book.
Oh, where's her book at? Her book's here somewhere. Holding up everybody else's book. Let's hold up her book, too.
Oh, you got a copy. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get one.
Sadie will be on release day for this, August 8th, later this year.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to pick up a copy for sure. I told her today that I was going to, that I might even try to read all 101. But I'm 53, so I might not make it before... Oh, gosh. Well, thank you.
For those listening, and now anyone would feel privileged to be asked to read one of your books.
Thanks, Sheila.
About Sadie's book.
Chad's heart just grew three sizes.
Three sizes. Not to give anything away, but she's got a cool checklist in the back for all the books. So you can check them off.
Nice.
As you complete your TBR.
I'll grab my highlighter. That's a cool addition.
But for the cover reveal, we're doing Broad Street Bastard. What is this book about? You told me it's connected to some of the other stuff. I don't know if you want to tease that or not.
Yeah. And a couple years ago, I wrote The Same Deep Water as You, which is just a slice of life thing with this group of characters who are skaters, punk rockers. And it's just them kind of like hanging out. It's very slice of life there. It's, if you like that kind of thing, I love that kind of thing. I've told Hamlin, if he didn't have the stuff that he had, like his new book, whatever it's called, the Clockwork Orangey one. Sorry, dude, I don't know what that book is called.
Drincrom.
Okay.
Pronounce it? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
That one goes into a strange direction. If it never did anything else except for just follow this guy and his drugs and all that stuff, I was totally fine with that. I like that kind of stuff. And I know it's not for everybody, but that's a little bit how The Same Deep Water as You is. And you just kind of follow this guy as he, his best friend, who's a girl, falls in love with him and it ruins their relationship. And things get really dark for some of these characters. And it's kind of a lesson in love for him, but, dark. And if you want to call it like a really dark romance or a tragic romance or something like that, I guess you could call it that, like a coming of age slice of life tragic romance. And then Slow Burn on Riverside is the prequel to that, which is a lot of the darkness. It's got death in it, slice of life, drugs, sex, and not like gratuitous, but and then it's got the ending goes in a
Lose them.
Oh, I thought everyone's frozen. Are you still there? I don't know. We might have lost Chad.
Oh. We may have lost a guest. How did that happen?
Be right back.
Browser crash.
It's because you, at least you didn't mention the C word, so he'll come back in a second.
If people just joined us, we're like, C word, what's going on? I'm talking about
C word. Not that bad C word.
Yeah, cannibal. We're talking about cannibals. and for people who are like, what do you guys keep referring to?
Yeah. Tell them the antidote.
What was the book? Cannibal Creator.
Cannibal Creator, yeah.
So my review for Cannibal Creator, some of you may know Brad and I, we've done video reviews in the past. We have YouTube channels.
The way just in past.
It's been the past because it's been a while since we've done video reviews, right? But my review for Cannibal Creator was kind of like a news report. Basically stating that Chad was a cannibal, and at some I didn't lose it at all, and Brad's been holding it over my head ever since. I mean, it's very simple, not really a big story behind it or anything.
Sorry, Chad, we had to tell him the antidote or whatever because we
that's cool. Okay, sorry about that, you guys. Browser on my Mac crashes sometimes randomly. My apologies. But yeah, Slow Burner Riverside was the prequel to Same Deep Waters You. Kind of a different tone, a lot of the same characters. Not really different tone, same tone, but at the end it gets dark in a different type of direction. And then this is a prequel to Slow Burn. So I'm writing these backwards. And so essentially you get to kind of see this Jex, who's the main character. You know, he's like 19, I think in the Same Deep Water. I think he's 18 in Slow Burn on Riverside, and he's 18 here, newly 18. And this is kind of these are all like his transition of, he's not as likable in this one. He's more of a kind of a womanizer, and he mm-hmm. gets wrapped up in these relationships where he keeps screwing around with married women on accident. And
accident.
And then he finds himself in a lot of trouble, and it turns into a murder mystery with all of this coming of age slice of life. And there's more sex in this one than, again, not gratuitous, but you don't want to read this to your kids. But this has more sex in it than the others. And yeah, I like it. It's like a coming of age crime thriller.
You ready to do the reveal, Jay? You want to count us down?
100. 99. Oh, no. Do you have it ready to go?
I'm ready.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.5. Go for it. Let's show it.
Bam.
Boom.
I love the color. The colors. I don't know. I'm a big fan of purple, and I really like the purple on here.
Thanks. Yeah, me too.
I love the font overall, just with the street being a little bit different. Nice. And for the audio version of the show, you're missing it, just so you know.
Break it down. It's got a word broad, and then street and bastard, and it's got Chad Lutzky at the bottom. And there's a woman's face in it in the room.
To me, it's kind of like a throwback to the 80s for my field, when there's like a picture within the word like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's good. It takes place in 88. So.
Yeah, a little nostalgic for me. So that's pretty cool.
Christina.
Here for the sex. Christina said boring. I think that's, you know.
Is that a virtual boner?
I think so.
Is that love for the cover?
So is this all done Photoshop? Did you take, like, I guess, different elements and combine them together? Or?
Yeah, it's all in Photoshop. That's how I do all my colors. But yeah, this is all just photo manipulation.
Nice. Christina, another cover artist, says it's super dope. I do really like it a lot. I think I really like the woman inside the word broad. I like that.
Yeah, she's kind of nasty, huh? Like, she's she looks like she's somebody. I don't know.
So it's the word broad, kind of a double entendre here. Or?
If you want it to be, yeah. Okay. But but not necessarily. It's the name of the street. So
I mean, I have a Broad Street here in Ohio too. I mean, I think every state's got a Broad Street, basically.
Probably.
The cigarette in the girl's mouth really ties the room together. She reminds me of Sherry Moon a little bit. I don't know why. I'm getting Sherry Moon vibes.
Oh gosh.
Is she that? Is she on that level?
I don't know. I'm not a big Rob Zombie movie fan.
Oh, you mean his Halloween movie's not your favorite?
No.
I already knew that. So how long did it take you to put that together? Because you said, you know, this was kind of last minute getting the show together, and you had, I don't even know if you'd started the book when you started the cover, or you weren't very far into the book.
Maybe an hour.
Dang.
Covers don't always just come together. Christina could tell you, you can like, hey, I'm going to toss this crap together and see what sticks, you know, throw this at the wall and see what sticks. And sometimes it doesn't stick for hours. And sometimes it's like, oh, wow, this is a happy accident. And that's kind of what this was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes longer to, I guess I shouldn't say an hour, because it probably took an hour just to find the images that I wanted, something that I was looking for, you know. And when you're in looking for, you know, trashy, sexy woman, it's like, man, you got to weed through a lot of stuff that you probably shouldn't be looking at.
And then you have to call your friends, say, hey, make sure if I die, clear out my browsers, you know, I'll let people look at my computer.
No, I mean,
I promise I'm doing stuff for a cover. Yeah. It's nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something you type into Google Images. You got to have the right. So you go to, you know, some of these sites that have like deposit photos and stuff like that, where you pay for the rights to use the photos. And
now,
then,
be honest though, when you create your covers or something like this and you're done, do you just sit there and admire it? Like, damn, that's good. And start, you know, bragging to yourself.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. Yeah, I look at it all day.
I said, be honest. Like, all right, thanks.
Yeah, I do. And sometimes I, and actually, I did show this to, I think it was Bob Ford and John Bowden in a chat. It's like, what do you guys think? And Bob's an honest guy, so he's like, it's not dirty enough, you know. And he was right. Like I think the girl wasn't as gritty, so I think I blurred her a little bit, made her a little bit grainy, and set the color on the... Actually, Bob said, I despise that font you're using for Street. I've always hated it, always will. And I said, well, sorry, dude, but I'm probably going to keep it.
You're just like the anthology. The cover wasn't bad. You're not listening to the advice.
Two punk rock.
I don't know.
Two punk rock. So is this basically what you had envisioned going into creating it, the way it turned out?
No.
Were there any major changes? No.
No, I didn't know what I wanted. I'm a big fan of, I don't know what the type of photography is, but it's like these, it's just a house at night. Maybe one light is on and it's very misty looking and almost like a liminal space. Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, but I don't know what those are called. So I never know what to type in there. That room would be kind of considered that, with the lighting that room has. And it's just like this liminal space sort of. But if, when I was doing the cover for Slow Burn on Riverside, I reached out to a photographer, because I found one of those shots outside. The lighting was absolutely perfect. The house was perfect for the story. And I said, hey, I would love to use this for a cover. What would you charge me to use the rights for this as a book cover? And he was just entering it into a contest or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then was going to make prints or something, so he couldn't do it. I was really bummed. But then I ended up coming up with a cover that I was really happy with. But I don't know, man. I just like covers that are... I mean, I like different covers. Like Justin Koons, it's busy. You know, it's very colorful, but I also like very simplistic covers as well. Mm-hmm. I think this is simplistic. It says a lot, but it also doesn't say a thing.
Right. I mean, simplicity can tell a whole story in itself too. So,
yeah.
I like what Lady Jane Book said. It's a very retro feeling with a little unexpected modern noir vibe. I couldn't get the noir vibe in there.
Yeah. Thank you. It is kind of like that. I mean, my prose is lean anyway for all of my stuff, but particularly for these three books, it's really lean, just because of the character's voice. But yeah, thank you.
And I don't, is this your wife? She says his wife called, he calls his wife into the office when he makes these great covers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my wife. She's never showed up to one of these before. Beyond the Pines movie vibe with Ryan Gosling. I love that movie. Yeah.
CW saying some David Lynch. That's what I was trying to think of. Like
David Lynch vibe.
Cool.
That is what I was just now getting.
There are some David Lynch moments in here.
Cool.
I'm a huge David Lynch fan.
What's the TV show he did? Is that
Twin Peaks?
Twin Peaks, yes. I couldn't think of what it was called. I know you're a big fan of that, aren't you?
Me? Oh yeah. Yeah.
But he did Mulholland Drive, right? Is that
Yeah,
that's the vibe I'm getting from it as far as Lynch goes.
Yeah, I like more of his. I mean, I like all of his movies, but I like his more straightforward ones, like Wild at Heart and Blue Velvet are probably my two favorite. They're still crazy. They have just like random scenes that are like they're so out of context that it makes them creepy. I don't know how else to describe it, but Wild at Heart has some scenes like that. Blue Velvet, they're great movies. If you haven't seen those, man, you gotta see them. If some people are like, I don't like David Lynch, you know, I didn't like Eraserhead, I didn't like Mulholland Drive. These are different than that.
Mm-hmm.
These are a little bit, these are more linear, they're easier to follow, but they're still David Lynch through and through.
And I don't know how well it shows up through the screen, but I like the little bit of wear you have up here at the top, if it'll go up there. I like that. Looks like it's bent right there on the cover. I like
that
with the book designs.
That happened from me staring at it for so long.
Boy, when they add the wear and like the creased edges and stuff, is that just like filters and brushes you put on there?
That is like a texture that you can get and put on there. There's a couple different ones that I use sometimes if somebody wants their cover to look like that.
Pabst Blue Ribbon. Chad's watched that more than once. Way more than once.
Yeah.
Inland Empire for the first time. Full bore insane. I haven't seen Inland Empire. So when's the release date for this one? Sometime in July-ish? Or whenever you get it done.
Yeah, that's kind of what I set the goal for is July. I wanted some breathing room for, you know, How the Skin Sheds just came out today. So I didn't want to release something too soon. Whoop.
Yeah, hold that back up.
Too soon.
I love that cover. I love his paint style.
Are you getting a full size painting of that?
No, I don't think so.
We can make it happen.
I'm sure he sells the.
He might. I think that the canvases. I think that somebody owns theirs. I don't know. A print might be cool. I do have a print of Stirring the Sheets, the full painting. Yeah. The author sent me a really nice print from the UK of that, and my wife had it framed and put in our bedroom of all places, which I think is
super creepy.
He's super creepy and I hate it and she loves it, and which is weird because I'm the creepy one. I'm the horror movie guy, and I was like, honey, don't you think it's a little dark?
It's not hanging above the bed, is it?
No, but it's in the bedroom and it's like on the other side of the bedroom, and so when I wake up, that's what I see, is that Stirring the Sheets print.
That's a creepy one to put in the room for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of creepy to put anywhere, really.
I mean, where else you go put it? You're gonna have like a dining party or something, and have it in the dining room, you know, so you could discuss it over dinner or in the living room, you know. So
it's just, yeah. I mean, not in the bedroom. I mean, it's more so the contents of the book, right? That's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a creepy painting anyway, but when you know what the book is about, and it's like, ugh. So, yeah, weirdo.
Well, should we do one of these giveaways we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
It's up to you, Jay.
We can do giveaways.
That's all on you. Over there. Oh, I have to say some magic words, don't I?
Yeah, you got to tell Brad you love him.
Come on, Jay.
Bradford.
Uh-huh. Jayford, is that what you said earlier?
Yeah. Nothing but love for you, bro.
That wasn't an I love you, Jay. That's different.
That's, you know what? That's about as close as you
can. It's got to be the L-O-V-E, not the L-U-V stuff, man.
That's about as close as you can get, buddy. That's it.
I suppose that's acceptable, Jay.
Okay. All right. That'll do. Yeah, I wanted to give away a couple codes. We'll give away a code, an Audible code for Skullface Boy audiobook, and one for Three Smile Mile.
Right, we'll do Skullface Boy first,
and these are for either the UK or the US.
Yeah. So the first person in the chat to put down the name of the killer that inspired Chad's new book, How the Skin Sheds, will win a audiobook code for Skullface Boy.
Skullface Boy.
And I'm not sure if it's in the synopsis, but you can go to Chad's website and find the answer there. You can go to chadlutzky.com and find the answer. So the name of the killer that inspired Chad's new splatter Western, How the Skin Sheds, first person in the chat will win an audiobook code for Skullface Boy. I think Skullface Boy is probably my favorite of yours. Oh, I like that one a whole lot.
Sadie got it.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
There it is. Ed Gein.
I think she's read Skullface. I'll send her the Three Smile Mile.
Three Smile Mile.
I'm assuming she doesn't have it, but yeah. Stacey Carolan, who's a great narrator, just did those books recently. He reached out to me. I think he had read Skullface Boy, and he's like, hey, I'm a narrator. And it was one of those books where I was just like, I just didn't have time to, I didn't want to sit, because when you do that, you got to listen to your own book, you know, for hours and you know, and then if they screw up, say, hey, you messed this part up. And I just, there was a lot of books that I hadn't done that with yet. And I listened to his audition. I was like, yeah, man, let's do it. And then he did such a great job. I was like, hey, do you want to do another one? I got this other one I just finished. So he did that.
Nice. Are those your first time doing audiobooks?
No, man. Okay. I've got, I think my first audiobook was done like maybe 7 years ago.
Okay. So we'll do the other giveaway then. We'll do one for Skullface Boy.
Okay.
Yeah. So Crystal said she's reading Skullface Boy right now.
Thank you, Crystal. I hope you enjoy it.
We're getting ready to win the audiobook, Crystal.
So let's see. Let's find something from his website we can do. Let's see. We'll do something simple. What is the name of Chad Lutzky's most recent short story collection?
That's also on the website, correct?
Also on his website, yes.
Yep.
Scroll down a little bit, you'll find it.
Out of my three short story collections, that one, like if you haven't read me before, it's a perfect example of, it's got horror in it. It's got a disgusting story in it. It's got a humorous story in it. It has a lot of like real life type horror. Some very, very sad stories, like heavy drama type things. It covers humorous crime, dark crime. It covers everything that I. It's a good gateway one.
Hamlin's got it. Spinal Remains.
Nice. All right, Hamlin. I got your email, buddy. So I will email you a code, top secret code.
Ooh. I still think about the story in there, with the testicles. That just hurts me every time. It's.
Oh my gosh, dude! It's such a nasty story.
that would just hurt to read.
Yeah. I signed that to somebody recently. I can't remember who it was, and I wrote in there, "Do not read story number whatever it is, 8 or something."
Yeah.
So trust me. Don't read this. And I told my mom not to read it too. And she's like, I already did.
What'd your mom think of it? She not care. No, or she's like, Chad, why would you do that?
No, I don't think she cares.
She shares it at the her weekly book club now.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Our next pick.
My the motherly disappointed voice. Chad, why would you do such a thing?
No. Yeah, it's after the book was published, I was like, dude, why did you put that story in there? But I just
I really liked the story, but I was like, this hurts.
Yeah, it's not a bad story. It's just
no, I liked it.
If that's what you think you're getting from my my other books, then it's a far cry from what you're
yeah. That's not a true representation of what you really
No, that yeah. That one was more it's not extreme, but that was more extreme than your normal stuff. But it's not extreme compared to like the extreme stuff. If that makes any
sense. Yeah, yeah. It's not like a dark sex rapey something or you know, yeah. It's just a situation you wouldn't want to find yourself in for sure.
No, definitely not. You read that one, didn't you, Jay?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you did the review on the site, yeah.
Yeah. Did I talk about that story? I don't remember talking about that story.
I don't remember
in review, but yeah.
With a circle back real quick to how the skin sheds.
I was going to say because we've talked about 25 different projects. I think in this
been
show.
All over the place. As the release day for today, you got good reception and everything going on today. I know you said Amazon was acting funky earlier.
Yeah, Amazon's rankings are broken. I kind of noticed that, and then I saw Gabino talk about it on Twitter, and I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense because they haven't been moving and they're just frozen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as like people coming out, sharing it, post tagging me in the you know the books that they got in the mail and stuff like that, it's been great. I appreciate every single one of them, and good. That always makes a really good release day where you have people working together to help get your book noticed and get mm-hmm. into front of other people's eyes because. I mean, they say, I can't remember how many times it is. They say it's like 7 or 8 times before somebody sees the cover of something or whatever before they actually end up deciding, I'm going to pull the trigger on this.
Yeah.
It is interesting. You still have that view of it that, you know, word of mouth on social media because, I mean, you're pretty established. You know, and mm-hmm. we'll be honest, you're pretty established. Like, Razzie, you have like 30 books out floating around. And in the horror community, you're known. But you're still relying on the, you know, word of mouth. Hey, I have something new and I'm waiting
big time
to see what kind of, you know, still waiting to see what kind of reception I'm getting. And it's good to see that the reception is still good, even though you're as established as you are, you know, so it keeps you a little bit level headed, I think. So,
yeah, I feel like I'm well known, but not as well read as I would like to be. It's so, I don't know if it's because I'm not really controversial. I'm not writing controversial stuff.
Tim says it's number one in horror westerns right now. Maybe they updated it.
Oh, maybe they did. Oh, that's great. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, so, you know, because controversial books like Duncan Ralston's Womb, you know, you get that up there, which I embarrassingly and ashamedly enjoyed that book.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Duncan has the worst taste in movies, but and we agree on nothing. But I did enjoy that book of his, and I like Duncan. He's a good guy. But anyway, yeah, I saw a comment that somebody put on somebody's video the other day. I think it was Edward Lorne had, I think he had posted or done a review for Three Smile Mile. Mm-hmm. And I think someone put in there something like, not enough people read Chad. Oh man, I can't remember what they said. Something like that. Not enough people read Chad. They just know him because he's cool and aren't reading him. And I thought that was hilarious. So there you go, man. I'm cool, but it's cooler if you read me.
That's right. You can be cool. You can be cool and read Chad's books. That'll make you cool as well.
Yeah, that'll make you cooler than me.
All the kids are doing it literally because he's got kids books out now too. So
yeah, that's right. There you go.
Yeah, you are cool is what Christina says.
Thanks, Christina.
So let's put the let's put the picture back up there of the cover since that was
Broad Street Bastard
main thing here before we hop
the
out
prequel
here.
To the prequel of same deep water as you.
Yeah, and when these are all out, I will do like an omnibus or something, and I will probably slap some kind of subtitle on there, and I'll have a name for what these books are. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, you know, the long-winded, this is in the same deep water as you world, which is in the same world, you know, this is the prequel to the prequel to the... But once they're all done, I think I have at least for sure one, but maybe two or three more stories in there.
Are you going back on each one? All of them are going to be prequels, or
yeah, yeah.
Everyone's complimenting your hair now. You got the best hair in the biz.
By the oh geez, thanks. By the time they're all out, yeah, they'll be in order, and you'll get to see this guy kind of progress from being just kind of like a, just like we all do, you know, when we grow and go through our teens, and the more relationships that we're in. The more mistakes that we make, the more we learn and become better people. And that's what this guy's kind of all about. Appreciate you stopping by. Thanks so much.
I did want to ask for these. I know Same Deep Water as You, that one was pretty personal. Like a lot of it was from your own life.
Yeah.
And I know some with Slow Burn and Riverside, some, but not as much. Is it the same with this one? Some, but not as much as the other two?
Yeah, all of them are. All of them all will of them be. That's why they're written the way that they are, because I had an idea that I wanted to novelize a summer and winter or summer and spring of my life, mm-hmm. but make it a little bit more interesting. You know, like 90% of it is nonfiction. Mm-hmm. But it's written in a way that, because nobody cares about, you know, autobiography about me. And so, but it's written in a way that, yeah, you wouldn't really know that. Mm-hmm. There are some things that happen in the series that you might be like, okay, now this is fiction, and it's totally not fiction. Mm-hmm. So, So I thought I'm just going to write a cool like novella about this time that meant a lot to me and this situation and this album, this Cure album that is, you know, centered around this whole thing. All right. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know what? Before I moved into that apartment, I had crazy time here and this was a lot of fun. And I'll take this small part of that and I will make this story out of that. And then it's like, yeah, but before you move there, dude, remember when this happened? You know, so it's like, so that's why, because kind of like the end, you know, like when I met my wife in 91 is like kind of toward the end, essentially the end of the Same Deep Water as You. And mm-hmm. so my life at that point was not wild and crazy. And I had slowed down and I wasn't doing the things that I had been doing before. And so essentially my life got boring, but very blessed, you know, because my wife was in it. So
boring in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. Boring in a way that was going to keep me alive. Right. Insane.
There you go. That's always a good way. Right.
But I love drawing on, I mean, all my books have element. I think any writer, their books have elements of, you know, real life.
Rude.
You just got yourself in trouble, buddy. I mean, we're gonna wrap it up here soon. I mean, but
and now Broadstreet Bastard will never see the light of day. Chad just disappears.
We're gonna need you to check in with us every hour for the next, you know, few days. Just make sure you're still good.
Yeah, just tweet I'm safe.
My wife, God bless her, she tolerates these books with the sex in them and stuff like that. I don't really necessarily say this is true, this isn't true, this is, you know, and she lets me read them to her, and because I always read all my stuff to her, or she reads it on her own, but mm-hmm. oftentimes I'll read it as I'm writing it. I'm like, hey, I got like three more chapters, you want to hear it? She's like, okay.
What's up, Wayne?
Thanks, Wayne.
It's probably like 3 o'clock in the morning where you're at, man.
Dang, dude. I've got Wayne's new book, and I heard it's great. John Bowden said it was good. I haven't read it yet, but I have it.
Hold on. Since Wayne's here, I can go show it off. Oh, there's a glare on there. The Black Cabin. Wayne is the nicest person.
He's great. He's such a huge supporter. Yeah,
he is.
And I just found out recently that he has two copies of Halo of Flies. I don't know if you guys know what Halo of Flies is, but Wayne is hoarding a couple over there.
Is that like a special edition of Foster Homes and Flies?
No, it's a four novella collection. It's limited to, I think there were 55 of these.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it
that's
has,
pretty.
It's got Foster Homes and Flies, String the Sheets, Wallflower, and Skull Paste Boy in it.
Oh, nice.
Also, and Thunderstorm.
It's Thunderstorm. It's got a sweet sig sheet in here. All the art was done by Zach McCain, who also did the paperback cover art for The Pale White. He did Out Behind the Barn, Same Deep Water as You, Bloodletter, and something else. Oh, the Thunderstorm / Nightworms edition of Wormwood.
Wayne's hogging all the good. He's hogging all the good stuff.
Yeah,
it's only 1 a.m. It's only 1 a.m. Yeah,
and those aren't cheap. Those weren't cheap either, man.
No, they're not. Not the Thunderstorm books. No, those are
Thunderstorm. They put out nice quality books though.
Yeah, they do. I just put this out. This is quarter-bound leather cloth. Cannibal.
Jay, don't talk about it, Jay. Just let him show it off.
Cannibal Creator that has three extra Cannibal stories in it. And, yeah, this is a Thunderstone book signed and lettered. So there's only 26 pages. Or,
I love the signature sheet with
copies.
The pig on there.
Right.
Yeah, $150 for those.
And there was what, as you said the other day, there was like maybe two or three left of those. They might be.
I found it. Well, Paul Thunderstorm, he didn't advertise them. I think he has like an elitist club membership where those people get first dibs on everything.
I feel like a lot of stuff sells out before it's like public.
Yeah. So I never got to announce it. And then I found out that there was, they had sold out. And then I found out that there was one copy. So I posted on social media and probably 2 minutes later it was gone. Someone said, hey, it's gone already. And I went and looked at the website. It had sold out.
Nice.
So
it's cool that they sell out those nice editions though, with how expensive they are.
Yeah.
Got to go let the ferrets play.
Well, that's a good place to end it. I mean, look at that cover. Just leave it up there for a while. Broad Street
Bastards. It is a cool cover, Chad. Yes.
That was just half what we was doing a show for tonight. The other half, of course, he's got a book out today. I mean, it's like the dude never sleeps. So go ahead and pick up How the Skin Sheds is out now and be looking for this one. We should create a date and hold him to it. We say like July. I don't know. I won't do that. Put him in the spot.
July 10th is a good date.
July 10th. I got to find some beta readers for it first.
Yeah. There you have it. Chad, it's always a pleasure to have you stop by the show.
Thank you so much. And thanks for everybody for coming and for anybody who's spreading the word about How the Skin Sheds or reading it, leaving reviews. Really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. Everyone in the chat, thanks so much for stopping by and participating. And yeah, we're all just, you know, drooling over this cover here. Nice. Just adding to the Chad Lutzky universe. There you have it. Anything else?
I feel like you have a lot of purple on your covers, Chad. Is purple your favorite color?
I feel like I do too, man. The Pale White, Skull Beast Boy.
Spinal Remains has some purple.
Purple, yeah. The official Chad Lutzky.
It actually is my favorite color.
I do. I like the purple a lot. It looks, it's my wife's favorite color. And the covers with purple, they're drawing on me. I like them a lot.
I love the contrast between such a between that color and something dark that you're reading. I think that's why I like it on a cover.
And that shade of purple just works. I mean, and there are several shades of each color. That just shade just kind of has like a little neon pop to it.
Yeah.
So
I think so too. Thank you.
Yes. All right. Thanks everyone for stopping by. I really appreciate it, Brad.
Jed or Jay, do you love me? You love me, right?
What day of the week is it? I suppose. I suppose. Chad, as always, thanks for stopping by. Really appreciate it. Thanks for
thank you, man.
Choosing us to kind of show this cover for you. That's an honor. Thanks, everyone.
We always appreciate when people reach out to cover reveals, release parties, whatever. It's always fun to get to do those kind of things.
Well, I really, really appreciate you guys.
We'll be back, Friday night, right? We have
two shows in 1 week. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. All right. See ya.
Love you, Jay.
Hey, I know you do.